5. What happened, though, was that I woke up late, near 7:30 by my watch, and, as it turned out, that was not so clever. You can vidi that everything in this wicked world counts. You can pony that one thing always leads to another. Right? 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 My stereo was no longer on about joy, and I embrace ye, O ye millions, so some vet had dealt it the off, and that would either be P or M, both of them now being quite clear to the slooshing in the living room, and from the clink-clink of plates and slurp-slurp of peating tea from cups at their tired meal after the day's rabbiting in factory the one, store the other, the poor old, the pitiable Starry. I put on my overgown and looked out in guise of loving only son to say, "Hi, hi, hi there. A lot better after the day's rest. Ready now for evening work to earn that little bit." For that's what they said they believed I did these days. "Yum, yum, mum. Any of that for me?" It was like some frozen pie that she'd unfroze, then warmed up, and it looked not so very appetitish. But I had to say what I said. Dad looked at me with a not-so-pleased, suspicious-like look, but said nothing, knowing he dared not, and Mum gave me a tired-like little smack to the fruit of my womb, my only son, sort of. I danced to the bathroom and had a real scorry cheest all over, feeling dirty and gluey, then back to my den for the evening's platties. Then, shining, combed, brushed and gorgeous, I sat to my lomtick of pie. Papa said, "Not that I want to pry, son, but where exactly is it you go to work of evenings?" "Oh," I chewed, "it's mostly odd things helping, like here and there, as it might be." I gave him a straight, dirty glazzy, as if to say, mind his own and I'd mind mine. "I never ask for money, do I? Not money for clothes or for pleasures. All right then, why ask?" My dad was like humble, mumble, chumble. "Sorry, son," he said, "but I get worried sometimes. Sometimes I have dreams. You can laugh if you like, but there's a lot in dreams. Last night I had this dream with you in it, and I didn't like it one bit." Oh, he had gotten me interested now, dreaming of me like that. I had like a feeling I had had a dream too, but I could not remember proper what. "Yes," I said, stopping chewing my gluey pie. "It was vivid," said my dad. "I saw you lying on the street, and you had been beaten by other boys. These boys were like the boys you used to go around with before you were sent to that last corrective school." Oh, I had an ingrin at that. Papa believing I had real reformed, or believing he believed, and then I remembered my own dream, which was a dream of that morning of Georgie giving his general's orders and old Dim smacking around toothless as he wielded the whip. But dreams go by opposites, I was once told. "Never worry about thine only son and heir, O my father," I said. "Fear not, he canst taketh care of himself verily." "And," said my dad, "you were like helpless in your own blood, and you couldn't fight back." That was real opposite, so I had another quiet Malenki grin within, and then I took all the deng out of my carmans and tinkled it on the saucy tablecloth. I said, "Here, Dad, it's not much. It's what I earned last night. But perhaps for the odd peat of Scotchman in the snug somewhere for you and Mum." "Thanks, son," he said, "but we don't go out much now. We daren't go out much, the streets being what they are, young hooligans and so on. Still, thanks. I'll bring her home a bottle of something tomorrow." And he scooped this ill-gotten pretty into his trouser carmans, Mum being at the cheesting of the dishes in the kitchen, and I went out with loving smiles all round. When I got to the bottom of the stairs of the flat block, I was somewhat surprised. I was more than that. I opened my rot like wide in the old stony gapes, They had come to meet me. They were waiting by the all-scrawled-over municipal wall painting of the Najoy Dignity of Labour, Bear Vex and Sheena's stern at the wheels of industry, like I said, with all this dirt pencilled from their rots by naughty Malchicks. Dim had a big, thick, light stick of black grease paint and was tracing filthy slovos real big over our municipal painting and doing the old Dim guff while he did it. But he turned round when Georgie and Pete gave me the well hello, showing their shiny droogie zoobies, and he horned out, "He are here, he have arrived, hooray!" and did a clumsy turny-toe bit of dancing. "We got worried," said Georgie. "There we were, awaiting and peeting away at the old knifey maloco, and you had not turned up, so then Pete here thought how you might have been, like, offended by some vesh or other, and so round we come to your abode. That's right, Pete, right?" "Oh, yeah, right," said Pete. "Appy Polly Lodgies," I said, careful. I had something of a pain in the Gulliver, so had to sleep. I was not wakened when I gave orders for wakening. Still, here we all are, ready for what the old Notchy offers. Yes. I seem to have picked up that yes from PR Deltoid, my post-corrective advisor. Very strange. "Sorry about the pain," said Georgie, like very concerned. "Using the Gulliver too much, like, maybe. Giving orders and discipline and such, perhaps. Sure the pain is gone? Sure you'll not be happier going back to the bed?" And they all had a bit of a malenky grin. "Wait," I said, "let's get things nice and sparkling clear. This sarcasm, if I may call it such, does not become you, oh, my little friend. Perhaps you've been having a bit of a quiet govereat behind my back, making your own little jokes and such like. As I am your droog and leader, surely I am entitled to know what goes on, eh? Now then, Dim, what does that great big horsey gape of a grin portend?" For Dim had his rot open in a sort of bazoomny soundless smeck. Georgie got in very scorry with, "All right, no more picking on Dim, brother. That's part of the new way." "New way," I said. "What's this about a new way? There's been some very large talk behind my sleeping back and no error. Let me slushy more." And I sort of folded my rookers and leaned comfortable to listen against the broken banister rail, me being still higher than them, droogs as they called themselves, on the third stair. "No offence, Alex," said Pete, "but we wanted to have things more democratic-like, not like you like saying what to do and what not all the time, but no offence," Georgie said. "Offence is neither here nor elsewhere. It's a matter of who has ideas. What ideas has he had?" And he kept his very bold glazies turned full on me. "It's all the small stuff, malenki veshes like last night. We're growing up, brothers." "More," I said, not moving. "Let me slushy more." "Well," said Georgie, "if you must have it then. We itty round, shop-crasting and the like, coming out with a pitiful rookerful of cutter each, and there's Will the English in the Muscle Men Coffee Mesto saying he can fence anything that any Malchick cares to try to crast. The shiny stuff, the ice," he said, still with these, like, cold glazies on me. "The big, big, big money is available, is what Will the English says." "So," I said, very comfortable out, but real razdraz within, "since when have you been consorting and comporting with Will the English?" "Now and again," said George. "I get around all on my oddy knocky, like last Sabbath, for instance. I can live my own jeezney, droogie, right?" I didn't really care for any of this, my brothers. "And what will you do," I said, "with the big, big, big deng, or money, as you so highfalutin call it? Have you not every vesh you need? If you need an auto, you pluck it from the trees. If you need Pretty Polly, you take it, yes? Why this sudden shillani for being the big, bloated capitalist? Ah, said Georgie, you think and govery sometimes like a little child. Dim went huh-huh-huh-huh at that. Tonight, said Georgie, we pull a man-size crast. So my dream had told truth then. Georgie the General saying what we should do and what not do. Dim with the whip as mindless grinning bulldog. But I played with care, with great care, the greatest, saying, smiling, good, real horror show. Initiative comes to them as weight. I have taught you much, little droogie. Now, tell me what you have in mind, Georgie boy. Oh, said Georgie, cunning and crafty in his grin. The old Maloko Plus first, wouldn't you say? Something to sharpen us up, boy, but you especially, we having the start of you. You have govereted my thoughts for me, I smiled away. I was about to suggest the dear old Corova. Good, good, good. Lead, little Georgie. And I made, with a, like, deep bow, smiling like Bazoomney, but thinking all the time. But when we got into the street, I vidded that thinking is for the gloopy ones and that the oomny ones use, like, inspiration and what. For now, it was lovely music that came to my aid. There was an auto itting by, and it had its radio on, and I could just slushy a bar or two of Ludwig van. It was the violin concerto, last movement, and I vidded right at once what to do. I said, in like a thick, deep gloss, right, Georgie, now. And I wished out my cutthroat Britva. Georgie said, but he was scorry enough with his nose, the blade coming sloosh out of the handle, and we were onto each other. Old Dim said, oh, no, not right, that isn't, and made to uncoil the chain round his tally, but Pete said, putting his rooker firm on old Dim, leave him, it's right like that. So then Georgie and your humble did the old quiet cat stalk, looking for openings, knowing each other's style a bit too horror show, really. Georgie now and then going lurch, lurch with his shining nose, but not nowise connecting, and all the time ludies passed by and vidded all this, but minded their own, it being perhaps a common street sight. But then I counted Odin Var Tree and went at, at with the Britva, though not at Litzo or Glazzy's, but at Georgie's nos-holding rooker, and my little brothers, he dropped. He did, he dropped his nos with a tinkle-tankle on the hard winter sidewalk. I had just tickle-wickled his fingers with my Britva, and there he was looking at the malenki dribble of crovy that was redding out in the lamplight. Now, I said, and it was me that was starting, because Pete had given old Dim, the Soviet, not to uncoil the Uzi from round his tally, and Dim had taken it. Now, Dim, let's thou and me have all this now, shall us? Dim went, like some bolshy bazoomny animal, and snaked out the chain from his waist, real horror show and scorry, so you had to admire. Now, the right style for me here was to keep low, like in frog dancing, to protect Litzo and Glazzy's. And this I did, brothers, so that poor old Dim was a malenky bit surprised, him being accustomed to the straight face-on lash-lash-lash. Now, I will say that he wished me horrible on the back, so it stung like Bazoomney, but that pain told me to dig in scorry once and for all and be done with old Dim. So I swished with the Britva at his left noga in its very tight-tight, and I slashed 2 inches of cloth and drew a malenky drop of crovy to make Dim real Bazoomney. Then, while he went, like a doggy, I tried the same style as for Georgie, banking all on one move, up, cross, cut, and I felt the Britva go just deep enough in the meat of old Dim's wrist, and he dropped his snaking Uzi, yelping like a little child. Then he tried to drink in all the blood from his wrist and howl at the same time, and there was too much crovy to drink, and he went bubble, 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 the red light fountaining out lovely, but not for very long. I said, "Right, my droogies, now we should know. Yes, Pete?"
"I never said anything," said Pete. "I never got very to one slovo. Look, old Dim's bleeding to death."
"Never," I said. "One can die but once. Dim died before he was born. That red, red crovy will soon stop." Because I had not cut into the, like, main cables, and I myself took a clean tashtook from my carmen to wrap round poor old dying Dim's rooker, howling and moaning as he was, and the crovy stopped, like I said it would, oh my brothers. So, they knew now who was master and leader. Sheep, thought I. It did not take long to quieten these two wounded soldiers down in the snug of the Duke of New York, what with large brandies, bought with their own cutter, me having given all to my dad, and a wipe with tashtooks dipped in the water jug. The old petitzas we'd been so horror show to last night were there again, going, "Thanks, lads, and God bless you, boys," like they couldn't stop, though we had not repeated the old Sammy act with them. But Pete said, "What's it to be, girls?" and bought blackened suds for them, him seeming to have a fair amount of Pretty Polly in his carmen, so they were on louder than ever with their "God bless and keep you all, lads, and we'd never split on you, boys, and the best lads breathing, that's what you are." At last I said to Georgie, "Now we're back to where we were, yes? Just like before, and all forgotten, right?" "Right, right, right," said Georgie, but old Dim still looked a bit dazed, and he even said, "I could have caught that big bastard, see, with my Uzi, only some vet got in the way," as though he'd been dratsing not with me, but with some other male chick. I said, "Well, Georgie boy, what did you have in mind?" "Oh," said Georgie, "not tonight, not this notchy, please." "You're a big strong chalavec," I said, "like us all. We're not little children, are we, Georgie boy? What then didst thou in thy mind have?"
"I could have chained his glazies real horror show," said Dim, and the old babushkas were still on with their,
"Thanks, lads."
"It was this house, see," said Georgie, "the one with the two lamps outside, the one with the gloopy name, like."
"What gloopy name?"
"The mansion or the manse or some such piece of gloop, where this very starry petitza lives with her cats and all these very starry valuable veshes."
"Such as?"
"Gold and silver and, like, jewels. It was Will the English who, like, said..."
I vidy horror show."
I knew where he meant. Old town, just beyond Victoria Flat Block. Well, the real horror show leader knows always when, like, to give and show generous to his, like, unders.
"Very good, Georgie," I said. "A good thought and one to be followed. Let us at once itty." And as we were going out, the old babushkas said, "We'll say nothing, lads. Been here all the time, you have, boys."
So I said, "Good old girls, back to buy more in 10 minutes. And so I led my three droogs out to my doom.